Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. We are back in our Father's Word. Book of Ezekiel, El strengthens us. God strengthens us. And He certainly does. As long as God has His wing over you and you are practicing the teaching of the Word, the following of the Word, following the ifs in the Bible. In other words, I will bless you if, then you're going to be blessed. If you don't follow that, you won't be. It's that simple, cut and dried. But the elders, now that they've kind of disobeyed God, and I mean slipped and wandered off into the captivity and many other things, they come to the prophet in this 20th chapter of Ezekiel and said, we want to hear from God. And God told Ezekiel, I don't want to see them. I don't want to talk to them. And I will not hear them. And, you know, God has a way. And then because of the Gentiles that had accomplished the captivity, God did not want to let them down, to let them think that they had lorded it over God's own work Himself. So He changed His mind. But at the same time, He's going to correct them. And boy, have they got it coming. He had stated in the closing verse of chapter 20, verse 12, that His Sabbaths were to be a sign. And what is the high Sabbath? It's Passover. Who is our Passover? It's Christ. And you're never going to have a stronger sign than that. He is the way. And you turn your back on Him, and you're kind of coming down to the end of the road. And this is why our Father is a little upset. You want Him to strengthen you, then you do it His way. So, chapter 20, verse 13, let's pick it up there. A word of wisdom from our Father, let's go with it. But the house of Israel rebelled against Me. In the wilderness, they walked not in My statutes, and they despised My judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And My Sabbaths, they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out My fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. I mean, He has feelings. And our Father, He loves His children, but when they continue to turn on Him and to worship other things, He doesn't like it. It upsets Him. And, you know, you want to remember that what after you have the seals and the trumps in the great book of Revelation, what follows that? The vials. Well, what are the vials? The wrath of God. It's not going to be pretty for some people. For some, it'll be beautiful. Which side will you be on? 14. But I wrought for My name's sake. I held up. I changed my mind. That it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. I didn't want the heathen to think that I could not be trusted, that I did not love My children, that they could not, that they could depend upon Me. Why? Because they're God's children also. Verse 15. Yet also I lifted up Mine hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them. I swore to them, I'm not taking you there. Flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. They listen to man instead of God. Do you do that? You want to be real careful listening to man instead of our Father, His direction. It's all right to listen to man or woman, but always check them out in the Word of God. And if they're off, boy, they're off. God doesn't want to hear it. Verse 16, because they despise My judgments and walk not in My statutes, but polluted My Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Their intellect was all twisted. That's what the word lir, which is mind, their mind, intellect was all twisted, and they listened and went after idols instead of following God. You know, an idol, well, what is that? I never would worship a stick or anything. Well, it's anything you put before God. Your business, it could even be your home. It could be your fishing rod. Do you put that before worshiping God? You better always find time for your Heavenly Father. Verse 17, nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. 18, but I said unto their children in the wilderness, this is the second generation, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. You know, many might say, well, Father didn't have much patience. Oh, he didn't. He parted the Red Sea. He brought manna down from heaven. He fed them with quail. He destroyed Pharaoh's army to bring them free, to get them free. He gave them of all things at Mount Sinai the commandments. And the commandments, well, many would say, well, that's the law, that's bad. No, the law is good. It's people that are bad. Anytime you break one of those, you're headed for trouble. Your Father loves you. He wants to keep you out of trouble. And while Moses was up on Mount Sinai, been up there for 40 days, that's a period of probation, they took all the gold and stuff they had ripped off from Pharaoh's people, melted her down, and it seemed like they loved to make calves, you know. And they were, after God had accomplished all those things, they worshiped that calf. And Aaron, of all things, the head of the priesthood, was the instigator thereof, basically, to please the people. You don't ever please people that want to be misled. You stand for something or you stand for nothing. Thank our Heavenly Father that we've always had a remnant that does stand for something. They stand for our Father, His Word, and His way. And His way is naturally Christ. Christ is that way. There is no other way. And how He accomplished that for us. But I just want you to see the people and how disturbing it can be for Almighty God, after doing all that for them, to have them treat Him in such a way. Next verse, please. Go with verse 19. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. That's the important part. A lot of people like to talk about them. A lot of people memorize them. But doing them is a different situation. Verse 20. And hallow my Sabbaths. And they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Well, what is that sign again? Don't ever forget it. Have you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, that Christ became our Passover, the high Sabbath of all Christianity? Don't you ever let anybody take that away from you. Verse 21. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. Again, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. That means practice them, do them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. And he was upset. Well, did he have a right to be? Of course he did. For the things forementioned. 22, nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. Well, the heathen are his children also. He wanted them to know that he was loyal, fair, and equitable, whereby the heathen themselves find that way. And that way again is Christ. 23. I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries. This is why that, this was the punishment, was to scatter them. You know, and many people will say, well, God lost his people. No, he didn't lose them. God knows exactly where this house of Israel is. It is the house of Israel itself that has forgotten who they are. Most of them call themselves Gentiles today. And they have no conception of the difference between the house of Judah and the house of Israel, where they are totally two separate houses, scattered among the nations. Oh, those 10 tribes went north over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Europe, many later to Canada, the Americas. The Christian nations of the world today formed from them. That sign that God gave them, they keep. There is always a remnant that knows that truth and brings it forth with dedication and purpose. 24, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. They just cannot toe the mark, which is to say the love of God. It is amazing to me that as good as our Father has been to us in giving us this beautiful earth and how we mistreat it sometimes, but to do all these things, this wonderful oxygen that He created these flesh bodies and gives that to breathe freely. And it's always good to us. And yet we mistreat Him in such a way, so shabby. But you wonder why He doesn't. But it's because of the Gentile, for one thing. Romans chapter 11 kind of gives you a good example that he could have destroyed them, but he wanted the wild olive to be grafted in, that is to say, to receive Christ. Verse 25, wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. Now, this is a Hebrew idiom, and it really, really loses it. What the translation and the idiom means is, I suffered others to give them bad statutes. I suffered others to give them misinformation. Well, dear brother, how could that be? Well, Ishtar. Do you think God wanted Ishtar, that pagan ritual, sexual orgy, to be placed in the New Testament in the place of Passover, the high Sabbath that is a sign for us? Do you think God wanted that? Of course He didn't. But God allowed it to be placed there. He allowed others to twist the Scripture, if you're not careful, whereby, who would have started that? Well, have you ever read Matthew chapter 4? You got the father of all the beguilers. Satan knew Scripture better than most Christians. But he had this little habit of twisting it to make it mean something other than what God intended. So, yeah, God will allow, He will allow somebody to give you false information. I mean, and here, a sad situation that this comes to pass. And I'll go one step further even. He will even allow a strong delusion concerning the end times that you're going to fly away. You don't even have to read God's Word. You don't have to understand the book of Revelation to know the chronological order of events so you're not deceived by Satan. You're going to fly away. That's what man will tell you. God didn't tell you that. You will not find it in God's Word. It doesn't happen, our gathering back to Christ, until the seventh, the farthest out, last trump. But if you think that this idiom is misplaced, you're mistaken. God will allow, and the word is, I will suffer others to give you false information if you're stupid enough to believe it. Verse 26, and I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, that I might make them desolate to the end that they might know that I am the Lord. Well, what is this passing through the fire? That's Molochism. It's worshiping Satan. Okay. You might as well, I don't think that anyone is actually giving their children to pass through the fire. Oh? You know, you want to kind of think about it. They're going to pass through a fire, all right. And God is a consuming fire. And His wrath is going to be upon them. And to separate your own children by false teaching, by God allowing so-called preachers, priests, scribes, leaders, to allow them to bring false information when He wrote you a letter. This one, telling you exactly how it, I mean, He's warning you here. I'm going to let it come to pass. What are you going to do about it? Okay, that's the situation. And well, I would never let my children go through the, what are you teaching them? Are you going to teach them to worship the first Messiah that shows up saying, I've come to rapture you out of here? You're taking them right to the big one's camp, which the fire will consume, the spirit and the soul. You see, true teaching is a wonderful thing. Do you know what Christ taught in Luke chapter 12, verse 49? This is the same chapter that gives you the unpardonable sin. I mean, this is where God is just absolutely through with you. If you don't know what that is, it's back in the 10th verse when you're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan, if you're one of God's elect. Not going to happen. But concerning this passing through the fire, do you know why many of them are going to pass through the fire and they won't even realize it? Chapter 12, verse 49, the great book of Luke. Listen to it. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it already be kindled? That is to say, if people that truly are gifted to carry my word begin that burning, that sensation of truth, of God's wrath against those that would go a different path, that would follow lies and deception. So we're going to kindle it, and we're going to fan it. And that fire is going to burn. The fire of truth. Do you know what it does? Do you know what God's consuming fire does? It cleanses. It saves souls. One example of it is what happened when the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were in the fiery furnace. Heated seven times hotter than necessary. Nebuchadnezzar looked. The sword of the Lord he was at that time. And he said, who is this? I see four in there. We only put three. And that fourth is the Son of God. In other words, Christ was with them. That was the fire. The fire is the Holy Spirit that brings forth truth, dedication. And, you know, there has always been that remnant that brings that truth forth. I thank God that 60 years now He has gifted me to bring that truth forth, though it's kind of unpopular. Do you think that worries me? Not the least. Because you got to stand for something or you stand for nothing. It pleases God very much when you bring forth that truth that will burn, but not if you love Him. Because to you, that burning fire is the Holy Spirit that gives you strength. From the book of Ezekiel, God strengthens you. Now, returning to Ezekiel chapter 20, let's pick it up if we may with verse 27, next verse. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me. They keep teaching falsely in that they have committed a trespass against me. Satan standing in the holy place claiming to be God. False teachers. He'll allow it. Verse 28, for when I had brought them into the land for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor and poured out their drink offerings, but not to God, to fakeness, to falseness. Little church next door never quite gets around to teaching God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, but does take the offerings. 29. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto you go? Question. What is your church? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Well, Bama, and so it is. Bama simply means, translated, a high place. It's the high holy place. Our Father is our high place. There's only one Heavenly Father. How can you be so far wrong that you would want to chase fairy tales of man rather than the letter of Almighty God? That's very difficult to understand. Verse 30, wherefore say unto the house of Israel, well, is God now going to talk to him? Say now to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredoms after their abomination? After so long a time, are you also going bad? Are you going to follow after one whole generation died in the wilderness? 31, for when you offer your gifts, and when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And I will say, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel, as I live? That's emphatic. Saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. There's such a thing as being shut off. You know, this is one thing. You never want to work against the plan of God and go after the ways of man, traditions. That's a good way to get shut off. God won't hear it. Well, I just wonder why he doesn't answer my prayers. Well, maybe I could tell you. Maybe the word tells you if you'd read it. Verse 32. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all that you say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries to serve wood and stone. After all, we're just Gentiles. You need to wake up. The house of Israel that has been passed over those mountains has settled. It is a nation that is a nation of all nations, the strongest superpower in the world. When we keep it that way, there's a reason for it. And history repeats itself, whereby God knows. And so are you going to go with the traditions of men, with Ishtar, pagan holidays, and call yourself pagan? Or are you going to go with the high holy day, the sign that God sent you? That is to say, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, Christ became our Passover, and Christ is our high Sabbath. Christ is our sign. Christ is the way. There is no other way. Well, that's why his name is salvation. Yeshua, Yahweh, Savior. There is no other salvation. 33. As I live, you can count on this, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. So this is why you can rest assured, my friend, in this final generation of the fig tree, it's going down exactly as it's written. God has raised his hand, he has sworn to it, and he will not go back on his word. Verse 34, and I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. I don't know. Is that fury? Is that fire being kindled? Are you fanning it or is it burning you? That's your decision. Whether you're going to be working in the ministry of Almighty God or whether you're going to be on the outside, that's up to you. It's your choice. But our Father is coming to that point and that time that He wants that fire kindled. He said, it makes me happy to see it. I don't know, are you a fanner or do you pour water on it? It won't do any good to pour water on the fire of God. It just really makes it all the better. But it puts you in a bad light. Verse 35, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Boy, that is a time when you appear face to face to God. You know when that is? There's only one time written that it's going to be face to face, and that's at the great white throne judgment. That comes after the fury. That's the seven vials, which are the wrath of God. 36, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. 37, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. That's if you make it under the rod. Maybe you should ask yourself, whoa, just a moment, what is that rod? Do you know anything about herding sheep? Do you know what the shepherd carries? He carries a rod. And every night, when the sheep are put away, they pass under that rod. And if there is a goat or a wolf in the midst, he doesn't make it under the rod. The hook gets him. So you're going to pass under the rod. Is it to tap your shoulder and say, proceed, my lovely child? Or do you get the hook? You know, it's up to you. But you're going to pass under the rod. This is not a good time to have Father angry at you. You need to make a stand. You need to stand for something. You need to stand for the Word of God. As Christ would say, my sheep know me. My sheep know my voice. When you hear God's word, do you hear His voice? Because you know when you hear truth and common sense, it's the voice of God through His letter to you. And you want to get within that because you're going under the rod. And that's a good thing. Because if you have behaved yourself and you have followed and you have helped God's plan come forth, you're going to be blessed. Otherwise, 38, and I will purge out from among you the rebels. They're not going to make it. And them that transgress against me, I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. That day's coming. Now, it's whether you have the correct passage or not, that's up to you. It's in the letter. It's in your letter by your name, right in God's own keeping. And it's a good thing. You might say, well, I just wonder why He's going to cast some of them out. We don't want them. We have to put up with troublemakers here on earth. You kind of grin and bear it. But don't worry, God's going to throw them out. They're gone. We'll never have to put up with them again. They're past history. And our Father reigns supreme. Hey, He's bringing a fire. It's His word. It's His truth. If you follow it, if you love Him, then you're in good shape. But if you listen to the traditions of men, and you listen to those that God will allow, the idiom I taught you in the prior verse, if you listen to that, God says, I'm going to send them. I'm going to allow it. You can count on false teaching being prevalent. By that I mean it's everywhere. But in the center of it, you have the truth.
Well, how do I have that?
The Word of God. That's what we stand on. But He's going to take care of business. And this is that final time. And what a sad day that will be. And so it is that our Father takes care of those that would mislead His children. I'm so happy that judgment begins at the pulpit. Because when judgment begins at the pulpit, it means blessings come forth also. I thank God that He has given us this ministry a platform that goes around the world and feeds many, many people the truth and changes lives. Not the ministry, but the Word of God. And when Father trusts you with such a responsibility to see that that Word goes forth, then teach the rebels also. Perhaps they'll change. That's the whole purpose. That's the plan of God, is to let the Word of Almighty God. Why does God not want to talk to them at that time? He wants them to come around. It doesn't give Him, as we learned in a past chapter, it doesn't give Him any pleasure to throw out a rebel. But He will do it. So stick with His Word. Love Him. Let Him know you love Him. And be blessed. All right, don't miss the next lecture. Bless your hearts. Listen a moment, won't you please?
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand the returning to the Father in that sense of the example set forth in the end times of the rebuilding of God's most favorite place on earth. Also, within these two books, you find the hidden secret, hidden from most people's eyes, that the study in the Hebrew and the Chaldee that is given in these particular books will teach you how that the priesthood itself became polluted during this period of time. This is to say about 400 years before Christ walked the earth to the time that He did walk, instructing you very wisely, setting the example of how it is that we gather back to Christ Himself. Ezra and Nehemiah, fantastic. You'll enjoy them.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. Hey, that number good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. The Spirit moves. You got a question, share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination or organization. We don't judge people. God's the judge. And He knows who to throw out and who not to throw out. The rebels is what I'm saying. There comes a time when a Father at the controls does a little evening up, and I thank Him for that. And that's why this great nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. The people are fantastic Christians. Go forth. And we just thank our Father for that. Now, those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure to hear from you. Now, you got a prayer request, you can do away with the number and the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. You don't even have to say it out loud. Don't ever let anyone tell you you can't pray, because you can. He's a mind knower. He knows what's in your mind. You don't have to say it out loud. Therefore, no one can prevent you from praying. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank You, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We got Kim from Illinois. Could you point me to Scripture that children passing away before 13 years that were not taught correctly in Jesus will be covered and be in heaven? It would really help someone I know. Well, what did Jesus say when they tried to prevent the little children, the innocent? He said, Don't you prevent those little children. You bring them to me. He loved the children and still does. Innocency is a beautiful thing, and our Father loves it. So it is not, you know, when we say taught wrong, the major wrong teaching is to not be taught who the true false Christ is. That's the key of David. And as long as a person passes on, one of your ancestors, without the Antichrist having been here, they didn't worship him. So don't get hooked up on that. It is God's elect and those at the end. This is why I believe that the third that really followed Satan in the first earth age have been born since 1948. And if you were old enough to be cognate of people's attitudes beginning with 1948 up till this time, what a difference. You know, what a difference in the population. You can tell there are different people. By different people, by that I mean manners, attitudes, quite a thing. 1960 really kicked a lot of it off. Sarah from North Carolina. My name is Sarah from North Carolina. Would you answer the difference between when you ask God to forgive your sin and he does and puts you in the seat and never be remembered? Then at the end of time, we will all be judged by God. How did those two work? Well, you're judged, but if you've been forgiven and it's gone, then you have nothing there negative to be judged by, but your righteous acts, which he blesses you for. It's payday. Judgment is a beautiful, beautiful time. We get what we got coming to us. We that serve the living Father. And I'm not talking about ministry necessarily, but in common everyday life, when you serve him and love him, you have rewards built up, and that's when they come, that's when payday comes. Beautiful time. When you repent, God says, I don't want to hear about it again. We've covered that in the last few chapters of this great book of Ezekiel. Deborah from Georgia. I have a question. Could you please explain your comment, we're born into what we deserve, because I was born from two very abusive parents. Well, they gave you life, and without them, we wouldn't have you. And we love you, and God loves you. And you can always work out of that. God, you know, especially God's elect, he can put them wherever he wants to. They're going to do just fine. Because God will bless them, and they're can-do, get-it-done type people. That's what you are. And we're so proud, even though your parents might have been a little abusive, or much, we've got you. That's the proceed from that. And God knows he can trust you and use you. That's a beautiful thing. Ivis from Kentucky. I know that Satan was one of the highest-ranking angels, but who or what was he protecting from the throne? The mercy seat. What was he protecting? Actually, from himself and others that have... You see, Father always gives entities, that's cherubims and spiritual people in spiritual bodies, the stars, he called them, his children. He gives them free will. But why? Well, he wants them to love him. Love is a very difficult thing for man to understand, because love can only come from one place. It comes from within each person. Otherwise, it's fake. So this is why God gives, he must give them free will. And unfortunately, as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 28, we'll be getting there before long. Satan, in his high rank, he began to be so proud of himself. He was such a beauty. He was so intelligent. He was so above everyone else that he decided he knew everything. And nobody knows everything except our Father. And he fell. That's why God had the two cherubims instead of one guarding the mercy seat. Because the other side, most likely Michael, not necessarily, but most likely, because Michael's got him under his hand right now, and he controls him. But before long, Michael is going to take him and cast his little self right out of heaven, right down here to earth, to deceive, to see who's done their Bible study, to see who's done their homework. This is kind of one way of God's judging between, to see who knows what. Truth or fiction? Fiction doesn't go too well when you worship Satan. Ruth from Oregon. Pastor Murray, I have a question for you. I am not clear on whether even to start, it starts. Christ was on the cross. Oh, I'm sorry. And now I see it. I'm not clear when evening starts. Christ was on the cross and they wanted him down before evening. Is it? It's at sundown, okay? Just to make it real simple for you, wherever you are in this world, the evening starts at sundown. Boom, like that. Scott from Pennsylvania. Okay, I understand and truly believe that in Christ there is no sin, so please explain to me how through Adam did Christ come when Adam himself sinned while in the garden by partaking of the tree of the knowledge as Eve did. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with Christ not sinning. Christ didn't sin. Haven't you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 15? I want you to take a home study. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 45 through 48. And it answers your question. And I'm going to let that do it for you. I'll say it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45 through 48. And you will have your answer. Bob from Texas. My wife and I were looking for a different type of church than what we have been attending for many years. Well, we found it on television with your lessons from the Bible. You have helped both of us refocus on God's promise in our lives. Your message and answers to the people's questions have helped us to reprogram our minds to our previously misdirected teachings. What a joy and a blessing it is for both of us to learn from you. And I understand you're going to visit someday from Texas. And it's good to have you with us. And Father, it is the Word. The Word of God always strengthens, and it is truth. And it brings forth God's strength and God's blessings. Thank you for that report. Jeanette from California. Question. When I'm delivered up before the Antichrist, have I already died or am I still on earth? You're still in a flesh body and you're still on earth. Where can I begin to read about the trumps? Well, you can begin reading about the trumps, but I would advise that you read first the seals, beginning with chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, because the seals you're supposed to have in your mind, they explain what the trumps are. And then in chapter 8 and on through several chapters, you have the trumps, and then you have the vials. Let me simplify it. The seals are the knowledge of what's going to happen. The trumps, a trumpet always executes the command. And the vials, of course, naturally, are the wrath of God. That comes at the end. Stan and Shirley from California, do you think the evil people who rape, murder, and rob, and so forth are from Satan or just plain mean? Also, as the elect in the first earth age, were we fighting the same evil people on earth today? Well, in part, there were, Romans chapter 1 lets you know there was some evil in the first earth age, and quite frankly, that's why God destroyed it, was because of the evil. You can read Jeremiah chapter 4, beginning with along about verse, 18? It'll tell you why God did what he did to that, for the katabo, the overthrow. Satan caused it, and so it is. Now, your first question, The people that rob and do, some people are just mean. They're just absolutely downright mean. And they like to see people suffer. They like to make and cause people to suffer. And this is why God brought capital punishment forth. He said, hey, you don't have to put up with that. When they are that mean, that they do it out of meanness alone. Now, this is not, don't go playing scripture lawyer on me and not realize there are many types of problems of harming someone. It can be passion and so on and so forth to the point that almost somebody deserved it. Okay, that falls under a different category. But we're talking downright ornery mean that just enjoys seeing people suffer. God said, send them up here to me. When they murder somebody, then let the father of the child cast the first stone, kill him, and send him up to me so I can take care of him. Others will see, and these things will cease happening. This is what they need to do with terrorists that want to harm people. God said, send them up here to me. So that's what you have to do. Others will see, and these things will cease happening. Now, if you go on with some scripture lawyer, or not scripture lawyer, would-be lawyer, thinks they know law, all they know is the law of precedent, which is a bunch of malarkey, okay? Well, you just offended the judicial system. I hope so. I really hope so. Common law is the very, of England is what law should be made from. It came from the Word of God. And I'm digressing, but that's God's command. He said, do away with this stuff, and others will see, and you'll have peace. And don't you feel bad about it. Let the conscience be on me, God says. Deuteronomy 19, Numbers 35, and many other places. Shirley from Illinois, could you please repeat on your broadcast one more time that watching Shepherd's Chapel is like going to church, but on the broadcast you teach God's truth? Well, this is a church. Shepherd's Chapel is a church. It is Christ's church. That's why it's called Shepherd's Chapel, because there's only one shepherd. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why if you want to join, Shirley, this church, you got to talk to him, not us. You talk to Jesus Christ, and if he accepts you, we sure do. You're there, and you've got it made, and you're in church. It is brutal to go to a house that is called church, and they never teach God's word. You're not going to learn anything from our Father. Therefore, you're not going to have God's blessings, and you're wasting time. But if you have a good church, a Bible-teaching church, you're very fortunate. You want to bless God. Otherwise, you're in church right here when that's all you've got. John from Kentucky. Pastor Murray, you teach the Bible better than anyone I know. Well, thank you. My question is, can you explain why Jesus said to the woman in John that the ones in the grave will hear the Son of Man's voice and come forward, but the Bible also says to be absent from this body is present with the Lord? That was a one-time thing. He speaks of it again in John chapter 5, that when he defeated death, he was going to put a show on for those that they knew they were dead, had died. But he showed them coming from the grave, because grave, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Christ conquered death. And you know, he knows that some people have a hard time understanding that. So he gave them a visual exercise, showing them, hey, I've passed away on the cross. I've owned with the Father. I've defeated death, and the grave has no sting. God is the God of the living, not the dead. Okay? Jason from North Carolina, please document Satan being Cain's father. Well, do you believe the Word of God? Then you could read the first epistle of John. You would read chapter 3, and you would read, I'm going to say verse 12, where Cain, who was of the wicked one, Satan, of his progeny, meaning his offspring. God himself, the first prophecy in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I will put speaking to the serpent, which is Satan, I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed, child. And then Jesus would teach in John chapter 8, verse 44, you are of your father who was the first murderer in the beginning. Well, who was that? Well, it was Cain, who is of the devil. And then in Matthew chapter 13, following verse 35, he explains the parable of the tares, which simply meant Satan planted a seed on earth, which is Cain, and his offspring, Kenites. And he said, the good man that planted the seed was our Heavenly Father, and it's his children. But in the night, along came Satan, the devil, and planted his seed. I think you know what a man's seed is, and makes it pretty plain, doesn't it? The word in the Greek is sperma. Mark from Tennessee. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, why did he say the woman's seed? Why is it between Adam's seed and Satan's seed? Why is it not between Adam's seed? Well, because Adam wasn't involved in that first. It was Eve that conceived. That was the conception God spoke of. And then, you know, a lot of people get all tied up on the chapter 4, verse 1, because they don't understand the Hebrew. It says that then Eve gave to her husband, or her husband knew her, and then she gave birth to Cain and said, Ish ithilhove, which is, with the help of God I have a child. But in verse 2, it states in the Hebrew manuscripts, she continued in labor, meaning they were twins and gave birth to Abel. Frank from California. Please document the unforgivable sin. Well, you know, we brushed on it today. And when I took you to chapter 12, the great book of Luke, and I told you back in verse, when I read verse 49, which says, I want a fire built there. And if I find, I'm bringing a fire, and if I find it already kindled. So the truth does split families sometimes. That's fine. No biggie there. But then when you go back to the 10th verse of that 12th chapter of Luke, it says you can kind of get away with anything that Christ taught while he was in the flesh. You know, if you want to go against that, you can always repent. But when you're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan, if you refuse the Holy Spirit, that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Because if you're one of God's elect, you know that the Holy Spirit wants to speak through you. As it's written in Mark 13, you're not to premeditate what you'll say, but the Holy Spirit will speak through you. If you refuse the Holy Spirit to do that, you're out. Unforgivable. You could not repent for it. It would not do you any good, because it is the unpardonable sin. Now, do I think that will happen? No, I do not. Because God's genuine elect, and there's a lot of people that claim to be elect and are not. Okay, get that straight in your mind first. But God's elect, true elect, when they're delivered up, if they have any one thing and one trouble, it will be that they want to talk too much. They want to do the talking instead of the Holy Spirit. So they do not find Satan tempting. They find him to be an abomination. Elizabeth from Texas, what is the difference between Canaanites and Kenites? Are they both descendants of Cain? Absolutely not. Canaanites are the offspring of Canaan. Canaan was the one that Noah cursed because of Ham uncovering his nakedness, which if you read Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11, is to lie with your father's wife. And the proceeds from that was an incestuous affair that brought forth Canaan. And not God didn't curse Canaan. Noah did. Wanted him away, then that's understandable. Thomas from Michigan. How can you be saved and how important is it for ministers to be ordained? If God chooses someone to teach, they're going to teach. It does not matter, you know, and plant seeds. Some of the best people in the world that I have met, let me rephrase this. You know that I'm a country person, that I have, I'm a farmer and a rancher in my lifetime. Therefore, I'm exposed to many ranchers and farmers that live so far out in the boonies that there would be no way they could go to church. So help me. Okay. I mean, too far. So you had to have your own. You had to have your own way. But I've known men better than a lot of preachers that were never ordained, but they lived it, and it showed by their life and how precious it is. To be saved is to let the Savior save you. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. That's what's important. He loves you for it. When you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. You can count on it. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me and listen good. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word, it's a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here.